Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be with you. Again, we're broadcasting. If you're just joining us, we're broadcasting from Oklahoma today, not from our usual spot in Southern California. It is delightful in Oklahoma here in Broken Arrow, which is right next to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Altogether makes a very, very fine area where apparently people live in teepees, but I'm not sure if they're teasing me about that or not. We'll talk about fatherhood this hour. Last hour, we talked about authentic friendship. And if there's a crisis in friendship, I don't even know what the word is for the situation with fatherhood. And I imagine we will, over the course of the hour, discuss some of the causes of what has gone into basically breaking fatherhood as an institution in many ways in our society. But we Christians, we Catholics, and all people of goodwill need to recognize the important place, the role that fathers play in the lives of children, their own children, other people's children, and society. It is not an option for society to have good fathers. Either you got good fathers, or pretty soon you won't have a society at all. To join me here to talk about the situation with fatherhood and talk positively about fatherhood, about what fathers can do, what fathers bring, and what fathers can learn to bring if they haven't been bringing it already, are David Niles and Adam Minahan, the two creators and hosts of the Catholic Men Show. I'm delighted that you two were able to stay for another hour.
We're happy to be here. I mean, I'm going to tell you, Cy, you're making a big mistake, but... You know, we're happy to be here.
Wait, why am I making a big mistake? Another hour?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Yes, I can feel that this is a potential disaster we have on our hands. But
it's like a slow car wreck that you just can't look away from.
Yeah. If you have questions about fatherhood, if you'd like to talk about your own role as a father, or maybe if you are someone who feels that you can offer some help to someone who needs some help in their fathering, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884 is the number. Fatherhood. Let's give our bona fides then. All fathers, you are both in your fertile years of marriage. So we don't know where you keep having them. You got one coming in November.
I do. I have a little boy coming in November. Yes, I'm excited. So it'll be two boys, a girl, and another boy.
All right. And now this is the thing. You live across the street from your best friend, David Niles.
Correct.
And you have a bunch of boys. One little girl, Rose. No.
No, Anna.
Anna. Yours is Rose.
Yes.
And you decided, well, since we live across the street from him and his gaggle of boys, we'll just have girls.
Yeah.
Right. So you got a bunch of girls.
Yeah. I suppose that's what we did. I really think it's just maybe a slice of justice. When I got married, I told my wife we could talk about having a girl after we had 11 boys.
Oh, I see. Oh, you're one of those dads.
And so now here I am with three girls.
And
loving every minute of it, really.
I know. It is wonderful. And one of your daughters is Rose, and it's her feast day today.
Yeah, today. Her middle name is Rose, but today is the feast of
St. Rose of Lima.
Yes.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. So fathers need role models.
Yes.
All right. Mine are Ernie and Bert.
Nice.
No, that's not true.
Too bad.
I have fathers and I don't have fathers. I have a father and grandfathers and uncles and all that. Did you have experiences of good model fathers?
I did. My parents, some of the best parents I know are my own.
Uh-huh.
My dad.
You have not met my parents, though.
He's a great dad. I really can't think of anything that they would have, they didn't do anything wrong, you know, and they were just always so, such the great example of what a marriage should be. So
I'm
very blessed.
I was
very, very blessed in that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same here. My grandfather and my father, they were great role models for me. And it's really interesting because, you know, my grandfather passed on the faith to my father, which passed on to me,
right,
and so on and so forth. So if we think about fatherhood and what we do and what we do not do has multi-generational effects. I mean, you only get one shot at fatherhood. Like, it's not like you get to play the rewind button and do it all over again.
Right.
So it's so important as fathers that we take our roles as fathers seriously,
mm-hmm,
and that we remember that what we are doing affects not only multi-generations, but potentially eternity.
That's indeed correct. I mean, Thomas Aquinas would tell us that the reason to have children is more souls in heaven.
Yeah.
And but we have lost sight of that. I think many parents have the idea that get them to college or get them through college or something like that is the goal. But heaven is the goal that fathers must have for their children.
Yeah, fatherhood is this incredible gift. And it pains me to see our culture spit on it so much. You know, so I have three kids, and even with only three kids, I get comments about, well, you know, are you guys done? Are you guys done?
Yeah.
You know, it's as if the culture doesn't want fathers to be fathers. You know, this ability to co-create life with God, I mean, that's crazy. It really is.
It's, right.
It boggles the mind to really think about the reality of that. And so the culture is trying to suppress that. I mean, vigorously they are. After my first daughter was born, this is my first day back from work, and I'm walking in with a coworker of mine, and they looked at me and said, so are you guys done? And kind of shaking their head like, you're done, right? And I looked at them and said, oh, maybe you didn't know, this is only our first child. And they said, oh, I know, but that's enough for some people. And I was just blown away that...
Why are we having this conversation,
right, yeah,
first
like,
of all?
Like, so this is none of your business, but the culture hates it. They hate fatherhood.
Yeah, right, right. But that, at least what you're describing, is part of the anti-humanity of our culture. Our culture doesn't like human beings very much. I mean,
right,
you do hear more and more about, I mean, it seems almost obsessive, the reporting on human beings as a plague on the planet.
Right.
As if the real value is that the planet gets its a good night's sleep every night and you know, and nothing bothers the planet. But human beings are troubling the planet.
Right. That's one of the problems with, and I don't want to open a can of worms here, but the...
Open it. Come on, Dave.
The global warming crowd... Behind the, you know, it's not maybe not the first line of what they're saying, but subtext is always population control.
Well,
it works its way in there.
Yeah, the population control, a disaster that perpetuated by people in the 1960s following Paul Ehrlich's ridiculous book, The Population Bomb, a book that was wrong in virtually every prediction it made, but Paul Ehrlich still says, basically, I was right.
Is that the guy who said that the streets were going to be flooded with horse manure?
I do not remember the horse manure, but he said England won't exist as a country by 1985. And this is reported as science by people like Walter Cronkite, who also obsessed about it. And now we have this idea that there's this mysterious thing called overpopulation, a thing that has never existed. There's no such thing as overpopulation.
Right. Yeah.
We have this anti-humanist view. And so you're saying that anti-humanist view means that we're not honoring fathers. We're saying maybe you should stop being so much of a father. Stop fathering so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I say that because... that life-giving element is really the essential element of fatherhood. There's, I think, what most people think about when they hear the term fatherhood is the day-to-day, the rearing of children.
Yeah.
But even the rearing is a life-giving element. You know, children look to their parents to understand their self-worth in the early years. And so continuing to, you know, raising your children well with love is an important life-giving element, but... if something is not life-giving, then it doesn't really pertain to fatherhood.
You seem to have nothing to say on this. Is he a way better father than you? Is that why? Or
I just concur.
I concur. That's going to be your...
Well, okay. You know, he takes all my jokes and he takes all my content.
You take my jokes.
The friendship hour is over, guys.
This is ridiculous.
888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking about fatherhood this hour. 888-318-7884. The father has another weird role of modeling God to the child. I do think when you get to the stage of fatherhood I'm in, where all my children are in their 20s, you realize I wasn't a very good model. it becomes clear, like that a human being is not a good model for
right.
God
yeah.
in many ways. You just have to accept that. They need the real thing now. and they got to find him. But it's a heavy burden on a father to be the earthly image of God the Father for the first few years of the child's life.
Yeah, and I think for children, love from the Father is spelled T-I-M-E. Time.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I was doing the work, but I okay.
So, and that's how, especially when they're young, they realize that the Father loves them because they're spending time with them. And so I think that a lot of times as dads, we can get overwhelmed and thinking like, I'm not being a good dad. Look at this dad over here. He's doing all this stuff.
Right.
You know, and that is not of God. That thought process is not of God. You need to just spend time with your kids. Your kids are going to know that you love them by how much time you spend with them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, my baby brother, as all baby brothers can, he could talk to my father in a way none of the rest of us could. And it was anytime my father yelled, you know, raised his voice, my baby brother would say, "Quality time, Dad, quality time." So I'm hoping he's out of the will for that, but I don't know. We're talking fatherhood with David Niles and Adam Minahan, the men from The Catholic Man Show. 888-318-7884 is the number. Calls are piling up, so we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with to take your calls for David and Adam right after this.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, coming to you from Oklahoma today, where we are at St. Benedict Parish in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Broken Arrow is the home of St. Michael Radio, and we are we're joined by Adam and David, the men from The Catholic Man Show. They had our good friend Carlo Broussard on not too long ago.
Yeah. Carlo on. I love Carlo. He's an awesome dude.
Tim Staples, he was here.
Trent Horn.
Yeah. They all rubbed it in when they came back. Yeah. Oh, have you ever been on the Catholic Man Show? I was like, no, I've never been on it. They're like, oh, it's really good. All the really good men have been on it.
Well,
that's when you tell them that some of you guys have to actually work every day.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I could act like I work. It would be faking, but
right.
I could act
but
like it.
Tomorrow's your lucky day. You'll be on the Catholic Mansion tomorrow.
I really hope you guys give me a hard time. I feel like that's an important part of it. Will you do that?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I can do that.
Thanks.
I mean, I'm kind of apathetic about it, but sure.
Oh, man. I bet you weren't apathetic when Carlo was on. 888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking fatherhood with David and Adam, both of whom are fathers. And David, I saw your wife here a little while ago.
Did you? There she is. Look at her. Look how beautiful she is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then your wife got here early and
helped
looking
set
like
up everything.
She's delighted for August in Oklahoma right now as she carries your fourth child. But it's beautiful to see the families. There are a ton of people that want to talk to you about fatherhood. Shall we just go to the phones? Or
yeah, let's roll.
Yeah.
All right. Andy in Tampa, Florida, listening to EWTN, channel 130 on Sirius XM satellite radio. You're up next, Andy. Your question for David and Adam.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Hey, Catholic Man Show guys, you know me as the Whiskey Man. I'm glad I was able to hear you driving
Andy.
Home and get in touch. It's just absolutely fantastic. Hey, quick question for you. It has to do with setting goals for our kids. You know, my wife and I have been talking about this, and we've been looking at it with our younger ones as it should be heaven and not Harvard. You know, we've misplaced our priorities in the world, and just wanted to get your thoughts on that as an approach as we raise our kids.
Yeah, so I think, Andy, that's a good question. I think, you know, what are the best ways to help our kids set goals? I've heard that kids listen to mom, but they watch dad.
Oh.
You know, so they'll watch dad. So what we do here in the Minahan House is we have what we call mom missions. And mom missions are things that we have to do, that the family has to do on a day-to-day basis or weekly basis, chores, things that we have to get done around the house. But we do it for mom, to help mom. So we set these goals of, okay, we have to make sure that we clean out the flower beds by the end of this week. We have to make sure that we have all the wood chopped before the winter time. And we call them the mom missions. And so that way we're doing it not only to help them fulfill, know the dignity of work and to finish a task, but also doing it for another person whom you love. So it would be for your mother. So everything that we're doing in these mom missions are for mom. So I think that's a great way to help set goals is by participating with them and doing them, incorporating them in things that you have to do on a regular basis anyway.
Yeah, Andy, I would say that the priorities that you set as a family will shape the goals that the individuals you're raising end up aspiring for. Another thing that I've heard and that I try to put into practice at the home is that the language you use becomes the goal. So what I mean by that is if you are talking about virtues in the home, if you're saying, oh, that was very generous of you, or, oh, that was very this, then the virtues become the goal because that's what you're talking about for your kids. So by holding them up as things to be attained, they will seek to attain them because that's what you are talking to them about all the time. So the priorities that you set will become priorities for them. But I think really you nailed it. I like that phrase, Harvard or heaven and not Harvard, because Harvard is stupid compared to heaven. I mean, who cares if you went to Harvard?
You don't even need to say compared to heaven, I don't think. But
I mean,
maybe that's picking on Harvard.
I suppose it depends, you know.
But like, yeah.
You're trying to be a lawyer. Maybe it's maybe it's okay.
But when you baptize your kids, you're making a vow to raise them in the faith. So that is when you go back to like, what are our goals? Well, what are the first things that we make promises? Do we promise to God that we raise our kids in the faith when they're baptized?
Yeah. Right.
So yes, I think that you can, although Harvard or any college is a good option for a lot of people, we can't misconstrue that and make that the ultimate end. We need to make sure that we're taking our first vows, our first promises, especially to God, seriously.
I have to, if I may just add my 2 cents,
please.
I think that phrase, heaven, not Harvard, that should be a bumper sticker. I think it's we're sometimes in our parental anxiety, we are inflicting tremendous anxieties on our children. And you can be, guess what? You can be a failure in this life in almost every way that the world counts and be a prince in heaven. And the thing that heaven, if we really truly believe that Christ is the one thing necessary, and we truly believe in heaven, and this is another thing, I think we Catholics should talk about heaven more. We should talk about what it is and why we make that a goal, not because we're trying to escape from the world, but because we want the fullness of reality, not to flee from reality. But it takes courage, I think, for a parent to say, look, I am not going to, you know, drive my child crazy about some standardized test or this or that school. But I am going to do everything I can, everything in my power, that this child is prepared to be an adult in friendship with Jesus so that this child can be with Jesus in heaven. I do think it takes courage now.
Yeah.
But I'm one of those people who thinks when they show the parents at the Olympics, you know, and this their kid just got a 10 in gymnastics, their, you know, 9-year-old girl just flipped 43 times or something. I feel like they should have a section for the parents who said, no, I'm not going to inflict that on my child. Like there should be a section where it's, no, I'm going to have my kid's going to get a normal childhood.
Right.
And I actually feel quite strongly about that. With a lot of time, we have to stop being an affliction to our children and be a help to them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if your kids are training for the Olympics. I apologize.
Well, and really probably the affliction is the parents who did that to their children, children never had the aptitude to do that anyway.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, that's even worse because you're setting them up for failure. I mean,
Andy, thanks very, very much for the call.
Let me just throw one other thing in here, okay? Yeah. Because I inherited my sense of humor from my dad, okay? So he was always kind of the jokester. But there are a couple moments when I think back into my childhood that he did something that just really left an impression on me. And I'm not saying that if you do this to your kids, it will leave an impression on them. But I remember being at the table. We're all having dinner. We always had dinner every night together, almost every night anyway. And we're just having a good time. And all of a sudden, he kind of stopped and put his hands on the table and looked at us seriously. And he said, "Kids, remember, nothing matters if you don't make it to heaven." And kind of like, and we're all taken aback because it's like, yeah,
right.
Oh, okay, Dad. Yeah. Like, I gotcha.
Yeah.
And then we went back to whatever. But that moment.
Isn't that something that stuck with you? Like
that, so that when it comes to setting goals, just reinforcing that basic truth that nothing matters if we don't go to heaven.
I think I forgot to take a break. Nick, did I forget to take a break? Oh, okay. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. We're talking about fatherhood. I didn't forget to take a break, so everything's all right. I will say thanks, Andy, for that call. We'll go to Brandon in Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on FM 91.5. Brandon, your question for David and Adam.
Howdy, guys. First, I just want to say thank you for kind of creating this medium. There's a lot of young guys like myself out there who were pretty bereft of sort of positive role models, masculine or familial or otherwise. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to answer these questions.
Yeah, sure.
I'll try to keep mine quick. Thanks. Basically, I'm a new father. My son was born about a month and a half ago. And
congratulations.
His mother and I have made the decision. Thank you. I appreciate it. His mother and I have made the decision to sort of pursue a sort of holistic upbringing, if that makes sense. We're eschewing formula, we're, you know, all breastfeeding, trying to just keep things as sort of natural as possible, for lack of a better word.
Okay,
and so,
okay.
Needless to say, she is exhausted, right? She's up with this baby at odd hours of the night. He sleeps for sort of three-hour chunks at a time. And she's just spent all the time, understandably so. Conversely, I'm working 8 hours a day. And when I'm home, it kind of feels like clocking in again. You know, I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm doing laundry, I'm assisting with the baby. It's kind of a dusk till dawn operation. And it's great. It's amazing. It's a blessing. But at a certain point, I know that, or I hope to sort of expect for her to commit a little more to household endeavors. And I just want to ask, at what point is it appropriate to ask for more? And what is appropriate to expect at this point?
We're all terrified right now at this moment. Just first of all,
tread lightly.
She had a baby a month ago, and it is hard. I don't know that there's much in the world harder than the first baby because, I mean, there. It's not that the baby is hard; it's that you've never done this before, and you. And you, a lot changes. Would you guys say that's fair? The first baby is.
Yeah, you end the first baby. You spend a lot of energy on things that you don't do at all for the second. And
oh,
third.
Like baths and stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like yeah, way so overrated.
You definitely have to know that the end. Like there is an end to this. It's not going to be forever. That's for sure.
No, right. That is the case. Maybe you have a male friend that you could. Sometime just hang out with and dump all your complaints and upsets on. And, your wife just had a baby 1 month ago.
Yeah.
And working 8 hours and coming home, it's very, very hard. But, I don't know if you watched her have that baby, but that's harder. And this is a learning experience for both of you. I don't know what.
Yeah. So Brandon,
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Brandon, let me just a few things here. Your wife is your primary vocation. Okay. Your children are we're talking about fatherhood today, but fatherhood is not so much a vocation as it is an office. Your vocation is to holy matrimony. Okay. It's not to holy fatherhood. Fatherhood is something that flows out of the vocation of holy matrimony, but she, your wife, is to be the most precious thing in your life here on earth, okay? My father-in-law has a saying where he looks at his wife and says, "I chose her. You guys just showed up later." And I think that this is true, that the greatest gift a father can give his children is to love their mother, okay? And so I'm going to agree with Cy. You're 1 month in, and it's crazy and beautiful right now. I would just give it some more time, because as the baby starts to sleep more, she'll have more energy. You will develop routines and habits, okay? And those routines and habits will become will become very helpful. And 1 month in, you just, especially on your first one, you just, probably those things aren't set yet because the baby doesn't have a routine yet. So. Right.
Brandon, because I want to have a conversation a little bit more about this when we come back, if that'd be all right with you, Brandon, if you have the time, if the baby doesn't start crying or producing in the interim, we'd love to talk with you. We're talking fatherhood with David Niles and Adam Minahan, the guys from the Catholic Man Show. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Right back.
We're ready and waiting for your call today on Catholic Answers Live.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew she wanted those things, that in them, somehow, she would find God. Over the years, as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, broadcasting to you today, not from California, but from Oklahoma, where we are at St. Benedict's Parish with the men from The Man Show, Adam Minahan and David Niles. They are also the men behind St. Michael's Radio here, right here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. 888-3187-884 is the number. We're talking fatherhood. Brandon, I don't know if we dropped too much on you before. How are you feeling about those answers?
Good, and I just want to add as a caveat, I hope I didn't frame the question in a way that didn't sort of pay due diligence to the immense effort that she's putting in. It is something that I appreciate and I'm, you know, eternally grateful for every day. You guys had just mentioned those rituals and those routines that you formed with your wife over time. And I guess I was just wondering, when do those form, and do they form naturally, or is it more efficacious to sort of bring them up?
Oh, I'd bring them up. I mean, I think you got to talk about that stuff. I just you also have to sleep, you know, like right now you're in what we might call crisis mode.
You're trying to survive right now.
Make it through the days, but you got to talk about that stuff, and you have to build those routines together, and hopefully you can both get what you need.
And I would encourage her to reach out to, if she has friends who have, you know, kind of are a little bit ahead of you guys on the baby schedule.
Yeah.
Have her reach out to other women For good advice there.
And this is part of why I wanted to come back to Brandon, is that the reality is that people are so mobile in our society now. They're often not where mom and dad live or their sisters and brothers are or that kind of thing. So they're off somewhere. And we tend to live a kind of, you know, nuclear family existence. And the nuclear family is not necessarily the model, God's model of family. Not like we're supposed to help one another. Like a mom isolated in at home all day with a baby is actually not the way. Do you think that that's how the Virgin Mary did it? That is not how she lived. She didn't there were other women. There were people around. There was community. And we just don't live that way anymore. I feel it's very, very unfair to mothers. It's just tremendously unfair to mothers because they're trying to do a very natural thing, mother a child, in a way that actually is not natural, in a way that's very isolated and isolating. And so a woman can feel alone and abandoned and all those things. So I think you got to be sensitive to those things with your wife, but with yourself as well. At Catholic Answers, we have all these young families. And I notice every time one of them has a baby, which is like every week somebody's having a baby, they all rally around. They're all cooking meals, for that family. They make some kind of internet calendar, and everybody signs up to make a meal. And I like the way that they're at least modeling a kind of community there. All these young Catholic Answers folks, but I wanted to encourage you, but also to say, this is not the way. This is not God's model of family: a husband and a wife and a child isolated in a home. Mm. That can make saints out of people, struggling through that. But that's a cross to bear. That really, I don't think God wants us to bear. He wants us to have help, and it's not. And for many families, young families, that help is not there. So, Brandon, with full understanding, you are in the crisis time. This is a whole new thing to you. We'll pray for him, right?
Absolutely.
We'll keep you in prayer, Brandon, and your wife and child as well, and many more. I hope that, many more to you and your wife. And thanks for the call. But I got to keep moving because there's a million people who want to talk about fatherhood, literally 1 million. John is next, calling from California, listening on the EWTN radio app. John, your question for David and Adam.
David and Adam, it's your brother John Sablon from California. I'm going to call him.
What up, John?
You're going to help.
No, actually, it's a comment that I would like you guys to comment on, especially for Brother Brandon who just called. And I think when it comes to fatherhood and really being a spouse, it's really understanding the biblical masculinity. When Adam was called to till and keep the garden, those words in their original Hebrew are to serve, protect, and defend. And so, for Brandon and for every other man out there, it's really important to understand sacrifice and that we are the chief servants in our home and the chief protectors and chief defenders. And to understand as JP2 the Great said, man is a dimension of self-gift. And so, especially these young men who are coming into this and really not understanding or seeing it from their wives' perspective, is that marriage, first and foremost, is about sacrifice, and that's how true love is actually measured, right? No greater love than this, so we see to the cross. And so I think just for Brandon and every other man out there, and I'd love for you guys to comment on that, is to really understand sacrifice as really the core element of what we're called to do for our families as husbands first and then fathers.
Okay, John.
Let's let
David and Adam respond.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I totally agree with you, John. I think that that's a very well point. I think in Vatican II documents, Lumen Gentium, I think around number 10, it talks about the difference between ministerial priesthood and the domestic priesthood. And as fathers, we're the domestic priests of our home. The Catechism talks about the domestic church and how we're supposed to make sure that we're, as the priests of our home, that we're offering blessings and we're offering sacrifices. And so if we're offering sacrifices and we're trying to protect, provide, and establish, we realize that as fathers that this is now going to be our role. So as baptized Christians, we're like I said, we are the domestic priests of our home. And so that, and as domestic priests, we're going to be offering sacrifices. I think it's funny that whenever you have a father, whenever you become a father and you have a child, you realize that it's no longer about you. is if you didn't realize that at marriage, you definitely realize that about when you become a father, because this life is just completely 100% dependent on you. So I definitely agree that, like you said, no greater love is this than sacrificing yourself. And as domestic priests of our home, we have to be ready to be sacrifice for our family.
Right, and like you said earlier, Adam, the answer to every question is Jesus. So Jesus, of course, gives us the best example of this on the cross. This is the sacrificial love that, especially as men, we're all called to. We're called to lay our lives down for our wives in service to them. We are, like you said, the men, the father, has three jobs. He provides, he protects, and he establishes. Okay, so he, does the basic necessities, the food, shelter, but he also it's his job to give the children, especially I think sons, at least sons in a very special way, set them on the right path in this world. You know, traditionally you think about sons learning a trade from their father, and that doesn't happen in the same way anymore, but we still have to establish them, especially in the trade of religion, if you wanted to put it that way. Make sure that we are training them in what they need to know for life. And that means that we are going to give up ourselves. That means we probably won't get to watch as much football on Sunday as we did before we had kids or before we were married. That means that we probably won't get to spend as much money on all the stuff that we used to spend money on and enjoy. But these things are good, and that is what it's our responsibility, because as the father, we hold the highest office in the home. Okay, we have the first authority. It's not that the man has more authority in the home over his wife, but he has first authority. So it's not like a general and a corporal, where the general simply has more authority. The husband and the wife, the husband's authority simply comes first. And so it exercises its place before the wife. And that is important because that puts us as the leader. You look at King David. He was the leader of Israel. Why is that? Because he was the first one into battle. He was the one who was going to lead and put his life on the line before anybody else in the kingdom. And that is what gave him the right to be king. Okay, and so we're baptized as priest, prophet, and king. Mm-hmm. And that's what that means. Our kingship is in our ability and our duty to lay down ourselves for one another, which, again, Christ is the ultimate example.
John, thank you very, very much for that call. I appreciate that. 888-318-7884 is the number. I'm going to just keep moving because there are lots and lots of people who want to talk with you gentlemen about fatherhood. We go to Richard now in Atlantic Beach, Florida. Richard, your question or comment for David and Adam.
My heart went out to Brandon. I'm the father with 9 children. I'm just about 65. And I think a couple of things that made it easier, especially when Brandon talked about cooking. So my wife would kind of have to teach me for the most part, but she would have me make one meal and freeze one meal. And so I guess my idea is to try to make it simpler and less of a burden on himself and therefore easier for his whole family. And then the other thing that I found that was given to me was a thing called couch time. And every night I would sit on the couch with my wife holding her hand and just listen to her for probably 30 minutes. And it might have been, seemed to me to be the same thing she said to me the 5 days prior. But it meant so much to her that I cared and I listened. And I think those two things really helped us get through the early days of the first one, but also opening our hearts again and again to each additional child.
Oh, God bless you, Richard. I'm not sure that you are correct, though. I don't think women like it when you listen to them. Oh, okay, my bad. Sorry. Father of 9 with some advice for Brandon. I'm so delighted that Brandon called at 1 month because yeah. That's, I mean... You know, you're starting out on the hardest thing you're ever going to do, and how wonderful to have a man like Richard call and give that advice, you know? Richard, thanks. You guys, any comment on what Richard just said?
He's the authority there, I think. But, yeah, make things simple if you can.
Yep. I mean, that's what you got out. He said two things. Make things simple.
Oh, and listen to your wife.
Yeah, there you
yeah.
go.
All right. If you haven't seen the video called It's Not About the Nail, do yourself a favor and Google it. It's Not About the Nail.
Okay. All right. That's about listening.
You will learn a lot.
It's about listening.
All right. You will learn a lot.
We're talking about fatherhood with two fathers, Adam and David, the men from the Catholic Man Show. 888-318-7884 is our number. I'll remind you one more time before we go to the break. We have a free ebook for you, Face to Face with Jesus, the Catholic Doctrine of the Eucharist. You can download your free copy of that ebook just by clicking on the free ebook banner at shop.catholic.com. Face to Face with Jesus, the Catholic Doctrine of the Eucharist. If you only learn one thing this year, and it's about the truth about the Eucharist, you had a good year. Go over to shop.catholic.com, click on the free ebook banner, and get yours.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Is prayer powerful? St. Alphonsus Liguori put it this way: he who prays will be saved. He who does not pray, well, you get the point. Prayer can bring us salvation. It's the means of putting us into communion with God, and God can do all things. The more our will lines up with the will of God, the more powerful our prayers, and the simpler they become ultimately, be it done to me, Lord, according to thy word. That's the prayer God will always answer.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Delighted again to have you with us. Where I'm here, I got to come over here to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and hang out with the men from the Catholic Men's Show and with a whole bunch of folks here at St. Benedict Parish in Broken Arrow. And thank you all, by the way. Thanks all of you for coming out. Was it for the radio program or the free pizza? Which thing got you out here? It looks like it was the free pizza.
Yes,
I think it was the free pizza. Yeah, I think that settles it. We're talking fatherhood, 888-318-7884, the number. Let's go to Jill in Colleyville, Texas. Oh, Colleyville, Texas. I always pronounce it wrong. Jill in Colleyville, Texas, listening on AM 910. I'm sure that's Guadalupe Radio. Jill, your question for the men.
It is. Yes, hi. I was just wondering what Adam and David might think about a young adult relationship contemplating marriage where a girl is the devout Catholic and the boy is a Protestant who isn't always in agreement with the Catholic faith, but yet would have to be the spiritual leader and father of a Catholic family as a Protestant. What would your thoughts be on that?
Well, first, I think that we got to go back to, if you're raising children, you baptize your children, you're claiming to raise them in the faith. So that would be, you'd have to raise them in the Catholic faith. So I think that the communication would be very important ahead of time before marriage, of knowing what, you know, how are we going to raise our kids and how are we going to bring up our family. Ultimately, you know, the father is the key, you know, when you're on your deathbed, you want your kids to be able to say, I learned to love, and I know the Father's love because I saw it through you. You know, every dad is kind of the living icon of God the Father to their children. So obviously that if there's a Protestant dad, you know, they truly love their Lord, and you want to showcase and share God's love through them. But you also, if you're going to be having kids and the girl is a Catholic and wanting to raise her kids Catholic, you know, that has to be said before they're entering into something so serious as the vow of marriage, the sacrament of marriage.
Yeah, I think that my opinion is a little bit – it's not – my opinion on this question is not a popular one. But especially for a woman, you're saying, I want you to lead me to heaven. Yet as a Catholic – I'm looking, if I was a woman looking at this man that, you know, I'm considering marriage, if he rejects truths of the Catholic faith, to me that's going to be a big issue. It's going to be very difficult if you continue to reject some of these truths of the Catholic faith for you to do that. The point of marriage is to get each other to heaven. Okay, so if that is the if that's the purpose, and one person is not really on board with that, I would be very cautious before going forward. And certainly if he is not willing to allow the children to be raised in the Catholic faith, I'd say that I would encourage my daughter in this situation to say, if you're not willing to raise our kids Catholic, then I cannot marry you.
That's a tough one. Jill, how do you feel about it?
Well, what if they say, oh, absolutely, absolutely they can be raised Catholic, but yet all of the teachings of the faith they don't agree with, it becomes a battle over every issue, but they say, you know, he would assure her, but we're going to get each other to heaven and we'll work through that. Wouldn't it seem like everything would just be a constant battle? And how unified, even though the agreement was in place, yet every thing that would come up would just be a battle, because I believe one way and you believe another way. And even though, you know, you agree to a Catholic marriage with a Catholic family, but yet you're trying to lead a family of ways that you don't really embrace. I would think that would be probably
I don't know
a
if it would
thing.
Be a constant battle. I suppose that depends on personalities, but everything will be harder. And I think it's a great disservice when we pretend like it won't, especially if you have someone who is serious or even two people who are serious in their faith. Nothing's easier about that. It's not impossible, and it's not forbidden, but everything will be harder. Mm-hmm. Because of it. And on that happy note, I got to move on, Jill, okay? Oh, okay. All right. Jill, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's go to Anthony in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on the Mighty Quest there in Atlanta. Your question, Anthony.
Hey, guys. I had just wanted to share something that my priest told me when my wife and I got our marriage consolidated in the church, that really kind of changed my life, and I'm hoping maybe I help others. He told me, your job as a father and husband, your only job is to make sure that they become saints. So kind of piggybacking on that, on what you guys talked about earlier about, you know, heaven, not Harvard, he said pretty much your job is to make sure that your family becomes saints. And when he told me that, it was kind of just a radical new perspective, and it just kind of bled into all my actions dealing with my family. And it definitely, you know, helped me a lot and kind of changed my life. And I'm hoping maybe if someone else hears that, it helps them too.
I tell you what, it's amazing what a good priest can do, huh? I mean, that priest was exercising his fatherhood over you at that moment. And look what it brought in your life by telling you the truth about your job as a father. What do you guys think? What about what Anthony has to say?
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%, and I echo that realization that when you step back and you think about that, wow, it does kind of change the way you think about it, especially as the father, because it's up to you. You're the one in charge of this family. Okay, you're the head of the family, and your wife is the heart of the family. So it's up to you sometimes to set the ground rules about how much television are we going to watch? Are we going to give our kids cell phones? I mean, that's a huge decision. Mm-hmm. And if you decide not to, you're not going to be popular for a while in the family. But that's the job of the dad, is to step up and be the loving authority and do the difficult things because it is ultimately for their own good, because you want to get them to heaven. I mean, when you get to heaven, are you going to say, well, you know, like, son or daughter, you didn't make it, but I'm really glad I gave you that cell phone. Not that giving them a cell phone is going to, you know, that they won't go to heaven if they have a cell phone.
I feel like you're saying every child that gets a cell phone goes to hell.
What
is that what you're saying? No, okay.
I mean, almost.
But you don't have the statistics on hell. No, I'm sure you don't.
No, I don't. But it does when you think, step back and you think, wow, this is my call. Because it's part of my office as father to exercise this authority that was given to me from God. And authority that we receive is not for ourselves. Authority is given to us for the good and for the sake of other people. Okay, so I have this authority from God in order that I might use it for the good of my children. Okay, and so if we're not using that authority, we're doing a disservice to this office that we've been given. God gave us this authority for a reason, and we need to use it in accord with His will. And so we just do the best that we can. Obviously, we're not perfect, but...
But luckily, our Heavenly Father is.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we said at maybe the top of the hour, we were talking about how fathers protect, provide, and establish. And I think the establish part is the toughest part. So I think guys can kind of understand that, yes, we're supposed to protect. Yes, we're supposed to provide. But the establishing part is the toughest part, because you have to trust that once you lay this foundation of faith and live the faith in your home, that they're going to go off and do the same. I have this, I thought about this the other day, you know, the Passion of the Christ, it has a flashback with Mary. Jesus falls down, what does Mary do? Mary goes running up these steps to coddle Jesus, you know, whenever he was younger, and say, it's okay. And she's teaching him, and then it flashes back where Jesus is falling with the cross. And he looks over and he sees Mary, and Mary sees him, and she has that flashback of her helping him at that time. But she knows that that was the time that she established. She was establishing Christ. And so that way she knows that it's his job. She can't go help him anymore.
Right, right.
And so I think that's the tough part, I think, for a lot of parents, and especially dads, is to allow them to be established, to trust that, one, that Jesus loves your kid more than you do, and that, you know, and...
Sometimes a lot more.
A lot more, yeah.
Right.
You know, and know that, you know, the work that I've done, you know, throughout his life has hopefully prepared him for sanctity, has hopefully prepared him for the culture. So I think the establishing part is kind of tough as a father to take on.
And I'll just say, from my own perspective, it's so helpful having such a wonderful wife, because she encourages me in this way so many times. She is often the voice of reason for me, saying, you know, is this good for our kids? Or sometimes, is this good for us? You know, sometimes I get this notion like, well, we won't let the kids watch it, but, you know, and then I realize, no, this isn't good for me either. I shouldn't be doing this. And so you have to make these difficult decisions. You can just ask yourself with everything, is this going to get me closer to heaven, or is this going to prevent me from getting to heaven? I mean, that's a pretty easy question that we forget to apply, I think.
That's why I listen to the Catholic Man Show.
There you go.
Right.
Hey, shout out to all the Council of Man members, by the way. I had to do that before I forgot.
Well, that was close, man. You
I know.
Got that
I
close.
I waited to the very end, but I wanted to make sure I said it.
Anthony, I'm so happy to hear that a priest made that point and changed not just your life, but your children's lives as well. Any comment you want to finish with, Anthony?
In general, I love the Catholic Man Show, and I especially love Catholic Answers. I love you, Si. I love everybody there, and you guys do awesome work, and you guys really, really helped me when I chose to come back to the Catholic Church. And so thank you guys a lot. Appreciate it.
God bless you, brother. Thank you very, very much for that. That's a nice thing to end on. A man who likes Catholic Answers better than the Catholic Man Show. That was what he said, right? Did I hear that wrong?
I didn't hear that.
No, I think that's what he said.
Oh, okay.
CatholicManShow.com is where you can find them. Adam Minahan, thank you very, very much for a fine hour. Really,
a
couple
blast.
Hours. Really appreciate it.
And, and whoever else.
And you, other guy.
Whoever else, the great guy.
Well, he's a great guy.
Thank you very much. And you have a book coming out with Catholic Answers Press.
Yeah, hopefully summer 2020, talking about virtues, the life of the virtuous.
All right. And you're going to work on that book?
No, I'm too smart to write a book.
Thanks to everybody here at Broken Arrow at St. Benedict's Parish. God bless you. Hey, we'll see you next week on Catholic Answers Live. Okay, well, that'll do it. Okay.